Let's stand together. Exodus chapter 20. Stand if you're physically able, and let's read a portion of God's word. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 for tonight's study. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let's read that again, just one verse. You shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Father, speak to us through your word tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now again, I know I did this last week, but I want you to get this in your heart and get this in your mind. Why in the day of grace are we looking at the Ten Commandments? Why would we even do that? Well, for one, because on Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Exodus. And Exodus, the Ten Commandments come out of the book of Exodus. So we're kind of zeroing in on a portion, on one portion of the book here on Sunday nights. And on Wednesday night, we're doing the book in its entirety. And in fact, if you can make it out this week, we are going to be doing my favorite part of the book of Exodus this Wednesday night. What happens now, they're out of the land and God starts to take them through a year camping through the wilderness. Why? Because, well, he's taken them out of Egypt through a series of plagues, but now he's got to take Egypt out of their hearts. And he does that through camping at seven different places over a year period of time. And in each camping spot, there's a brand new lesson for them. And if we have ears to hear, man, I think God wants to say something to us as well. So we'll start that study on Wednesday night together in the book of Exodus. But you say, well, okay, but you know, the law of God, these Ten Commandments, all the weird customs and the dietary laws, why are we doing that? Well, remember, a lot of what you're talking about, the Jewish holidays, the dietary laws, that is called the law of who? Do we remember? The law of Moses. This is why I repeat this, but I want you all to know this by the end of our study. The law of Moses. And the law of Moses was given to that people for that time. That was their dietary laws. That were those, their customs to follow. It's different from Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is not called the law of Moses in the scripture. It's called the law of who? God. It was God that wrote those with the finger on the tablets of stone and gave them to us. And the Ten Commandments, unlike all the Jewish customs, all the dietary laws, the Ten Commandments are for all people at all times. Why? You remember, don't you? Because number one, they drive us to Christ. They drive us to Christ. We want to see salvation. We want to see revival break out in our community. I'll be honest with you, it's not going to happen without a lot of things. It's not going to happen without the Spirit. It's not going to happen without a passion for the people. But another thing that it won't happen without is that without us explaining to people, you're lost. You've broken the Ten Commandments. In fact, if you've broken one, the Bible's clear, you've broken them all. You need a Savior. Until people realize how much they need a Savior, they'll never embrace him and keep him. But the minute we explain to them, look, you have violated at least one, if not many, of the Ten Commandments. God says you have to be perfect, enter into heaven. This isn't going to work. You need a Savior. All of a sudden, wow, I need a Savior. And the law helps us get there. It drives us to Christ. But secondly, what? It also directs us in Christ. It doesn't just drive us to Christ. It directs us in Christ. We live in a day and age when Christians just seem to do whatever's on their heart. I'll just let my heart be my guide, like some kind of Disney movie. But that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous because our heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And yes, I'm thankful for grace. We would not get to heaven without it. But friends, just because we live in the age of grace does not mean there's no standard and no rules. There are, and we're reading and discovering these on these Sunday nights. God does have a way for us to live our lives. So this law of God is for all people at all times. Why? Because it drives us to Christ. It gets us to see and others to see our need for a Savior. It directs us in Christ. It shows us how he desires us to live. And thirdly and finally, we discover things about Christ. You see, when you look at laws, you discover something about the lawgivers. We've been looking at some state laws over the last couple of weeks, if you've been with us. And last week, we picked on Texas. Who, remember, it's illegal to shoot a buffalo out of a second-story hotel window. It's a good law. Make sure you know that if you go to Texas. Let's stay in the South, and tonight we'll pick on Alabama. In Alabama, it's illegal to wear a fake mustache to church to produce laughter. So if you got your fake mustache on, do not wear it to church in Alabama. It's illegal to put ice cream in your back pocket. I'm not kidding you. That's a law in Alabama. Illegal to put ice cream. Now, if you're in the next door state in Georgia, that's only illegal on Sundays. You can keep ice cream in your back pocket Saturday, Friday, Thursday. On Sunday, against the law, you'll go to jail. You cannot keep a donkey in a bathtub. Where do you want me to keep my donkey? I don't understand. I don't know where I'm going to keep my donkey in Alabama if I can't keep him in my bathtub. And finally, praise the Lord, it's illegal to flick boogers into the wind in Alabama. Anyways, we'll pick on some more states as we go through our studies. But those laws tell you something about the lawgivers, that they're concerned about ice cream in your back pocket and donkeys in your bathtub. And that's what's on their mind as they're making those laws. Well, the same thing. What have we learned from the New Testament? It says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments, they don't save us. They don't qualify us for his love, but we experience his love as we follow his commandments. Again, you parents, you know this. My kids are at that age when sleepovers are the big weekend events. And I always tell them, would you please just try to go to sleep? Just a little bit of sleep when you go to these sleepovers. And they all look at me like, oh, Dad, you're trying to kill my fun. But no matter what, they come back the next day and let's run some errands. I'm so tired. Can I stay at home? No, I'm not going to leave you at home. No, you have to come with me. And the rest of their ruinous week is ruined because they would not listen to their dad. I wasn't trying to steal their joy. I wasn't trying to rip off their weekend. I want them to have fun for the entire weekend. And the Lord's the same way. He wants us to enjoy life to the fullest. He wants us to understand what a great thing it is to serve him and walk with him. And we've got to keep that in mind, especially tonight. Because this third commandment that says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I go over the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. Why? Because it seems like this commandment sticks out like a sore thumb. Here's what I mean by that. With all the other commandments, we kind of nod in agreement. Yeah, we can understand why idol worship would be bad. Amen. Okay, that's a good law. And don't murder. Well, that's good. We all agree, murder's bad. You know, cheating on your wife or your husband, bad. Stealing, you get the picture. We go through the entire law and it's like, amen, amen, amen. But there's a strange exception of the third commandment. And as we discuss it tonight, I encourage you, there may be some things at first you disagree with, but pray it in, think it through, and realize his commandments are not grievous. They're to show his love in our lives and through our lives. See, with the commandment, do not murder, God adds nothing. It's pretty self-explanatory. With the commandment not to steal, he adds nothing. But this third commandment, God says, I'm going to give you a qualification. I will not hold him guiltless who just forgets about this commandment, who thinks this commandment is not important. And I think God says that because he goes, I'm very serious about that. Where most of us would look at this and say, well, who doesn't occasionally take the name of the Lord in vain? Who doesn't occasionally do this? The Lord would say, no, listen, church, I am extremely serious on this matter. Now, why? Why? Why is it such a big deal? Is God so uptight about his name? Is he so haughty that he says, don't banter my name about? You better call me the right name. Some people are like that about their name. When I first moved to Texas, when I was pastoring the church out there, I had no idea how formally people held on to the name of pastor or reverend. You know, I'm a pastor, and if you want to call me Jason, I'm great with that. You feel the need to call me Pastor Jason, that's okay too. It doesn't matter to me. Just don't call me reverend, because there's not a whole lot reverent about me. But you go to Texas, it's a different. I would go to these pastors meetings, I'd say, hey, Brother Jim. And he would look at me like, I am not your brother. I am Pastor Jim. It was striking me as weird because you understand, like, the name pastor, it means shepherd or feeder or slave is what it really means. And these guys, I've earned that name, slave. You call me slave. And, oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. I was so not formal with your official title. And it just struck me as weird. But then I think, is the Lord that way? Is he's like, hey, I've earned the name God. I've earned the name God. So you better not throw my name around. Well, I don't think that's his heart at all. First of all, we need to remember what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. When you break it down, the phrase to take means to hold up, to take, or to use. It's obvious what the name of the Lord is, but then it says in vain. And that phrase in vain means to produce an emptiness, to make devoid of meaning. So listen, when I take the name of the Lord in vain, it's when I hold up the name of God, when I use the name of God, when I hold it up in a way that it makes the name of God empty or devoid of meaning. Now, how can I do that? How can we do that? Well, in a couple ways. First of all, the obvious way, I think we can do it through vulgarity or profanity. You know, we're so entrenched in our culture. There's this willingness that when angry, when frustrated, we use the name of the Lord or the things of the Lord as an expression of frustration or even of excitement. And we can say, okay, but what's the big deal with that? Because again, the name of the Lord, when it's used to express frustration, when the name of the Lord is used to express surprise or adulation, what happens is there's a terrible trivialization of the name of God. When the name of our Lord is used in vain, whether it's in movies or TV or by us, there's a trivialization that comes about. What do I mean? Remember, to take or to hold up something, to take it in vain means to empty it of meaning. And that's what happens when the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, is used vainly. When it's used as profanity, the greatest name that has ever been loses its power in the ears of the hearer. Now, not in reality, but in the ears of those who hear that name held up again and again in vain, it begins to be emptied of its power, emptied of its meaning. It desensitizes people to the name. Those who use the name of the Lord in vain and those around it, when you come along and begin to share the wonders and the goodness, you say, let me tell you about Jesus. Well, you're just telling me about a cuss word I've heard. Let me tell you about the Lord. Oh, I've heard that name so many times. And the name that can change every single heart on the planet, if we're not careful about how we use it, we are emptying it of meaning in the ears of those that hear it. And that's not just true of the name of God or Jesus, but even thoughts of like hell and damnation. Why do you think those are curse words? I mean, Satan is behind it. Have you ever heard someone hit their finger with a hammer and yell, "Oh, Satan"? Ever? Ever, have you ever heard that? You ever heard, you know, someone, you know, trip and like, "Oh, Buddha," with your huge belly? I've never heard that. I've never heard that. I've never looked at someone and say, "Hare Krishna, what are you doing?" I've never heard those expressions. But the name of God, the name of Jesus, the idea of hell and damnation is used, and there's a reason. The enemy is trying to diminish the power of those words in our ears. And friends, it's working. You know, it's interesting if you go way back into the 40s when the movie Gone with the Wind first came out. Clark Gable, of course, had his famous line where he said, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." And when he said that, sermons were preached, articles were written. This whole country was in an uproar. They were offended. Why? Because back in the 40s, America understood the concept of damnation. They knew it meant to be separated from God for all of eternity. And America was shocked it would be used so flippantly in a movie. And yet Satan has been at the work of trivializing the name of Jesus, trivializing the name of God, trivializing the name of the idea of hell and damnation. And today people speak freely, saying damn this or damn that, from comedians to actors to Democrats to conservatives to heathens to Christians. And what's happening is the name of God and the name of Jesus and the idea of hell and damnation have lost their power. Now, not in reality, but that's what makes it the scariest of all. And Jesus, who knows this, God who knows this, says the stakes are high. The stakes are so high that people are affected by the name of Jesus. That people understand the holiness of the name of God. That people shake in fear of the idea of hell and being damned away from the Lord for all of eternity. It's not God saying, "I'm a religious prude." It's about people going to hell. It's about people not being affected by the greatest name of all time because we've emptied it of its meaning and effectiveness because we have chosen to use it in vain. It was years ago now, but I remember watching a USC football versus Notre Dame game, and USC came from behind to win. Remember USC fans when they used to do that, when they used to come from behind to win? Sorry, that's my USC shot for the evening because they lose all the time now. But anyways, the guy, as he was watching, you know, the announcer watching him overcome Notre Dame, he starts yelling, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." Now, what was happening? Well, Pastor Jason, let me explain it to you. He was not worshiping USC. When he says, "Oh my God," that's an expression of surprise or happiness, like OMG. It doesn't mean God. It doesn't mean God. Exactly. It doesn't mean God. The name of God, the only name by which a man can be saved, has been so trivialized for many, it now carries no meaning at all. And that's true of Jesus. That's true of damnation. It's true of hell. We have trivialized it through profanity and vulgarity. But there's another way we can do that. Proverbs 30 says this, be up on the screen. "Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or else I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord." Solomon says there are two ways to profane the name of the Lord. One, with our words. Secondly, with our actions. You see, I believe to hold up the name of the Lord and do it in vain can be through our words, through profanity, through vulgarity, but we can also do it through hypocrisy. Through hypocrisy. You see, when we come to know the Lord, when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, which hopefully you have all done, He literally puts His name upon you. He calls you a Christian. That name was originally given to the Christians because the world was reminded of Christ because of them. So they called them little Christ, Christians. You remind us of Jesus. And that name gets put upon us, just like God did with the children of Israel. He says in Numbers 6:27, "So they put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them." He's done this again and again and again. We become His kids and He puts His name upon us. And friends, it is a serious thing to represent the Lord. It really is. You know, you want those that are of your family to represent you well. I remember it was right after Hurricane Katrina. A lot of the people that had lost their homes and lost everything, they were getting sent to all those cities around Louisiana. And Paris, Texas is only 3 hours from you know, that part of Louisiana. So we had a bunch come up to Paris, Texas. And so they were being sheltered at local high schools. And it was our night, Calvary Chapel, Paris, Texas, to feed all the, you know, Katrina refugees, if you might call them that. And so they were in the school gymnasium and our church was buzzing around feeding them and everything was going great. They were eating dinner and all of a sudden the lights went out. And you can see some of them like having flashbacks to just, you know, three or four nights previous. Like, "Oh no, it's happening again." And I'm looking around like, "How, where'd the lights go? Where'd the lights go?" And then I heard this little familiar voice. "Sorry." It was my daughter, Haley. My daughter, Haley, had turned the lights off on the Katrina victims. And it was those gym lights that take like 8 minutes to turn back on. So we got it back on. It's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And listen, if it was your kids that did that, I would think that's hilarious. I really would. I would laugh and make fun of you for years if that was your kids. But it was my kid. And so I was like, "You can't do that." Well, that's just me. How we represent the Lord is a serious thing. Remember Moses? The people wanted water. They complained. God understood. He said, "Moses, just go speak to the rock. I'm going to give them water. Just go speak to the rock." And Moses takes his rod, "You rebellious people." He starts beating that rock. "That's how God feels about you." And God was gracious. He gave water to His people. But then God said, "Mo, come here. You misrepresented me to the people." And Moses couldn't go in the promised land because he misrepresented God to the people. It's a serious thing. We diminish the meaning of by our lifestyle. We distort people's view of God. I remember my grandpa telling me before he went home to be with Jesus, he would share with my uncle, who still isn't saved, and he would share with him and share with him. And my uncle would say to him, "Well, yeah, you serve God except in football season." Because my grandpa, before he was on fire, he would go to church, you know, 6 months out of the year. But August through, you know, January, I don't have time for church. And my uncle saw that for what it was, hypocrisy. And it diminished who God was in his eyes. You see, friends, to take the name of the Lord in vain is to hold up his name in a way that diminishes its power and effectiveness in people's lives. And we can do that through our words, through vainly saying damn this or damn that or Jesus this or God that. Then when people hear those words and it should cut them to the heart, it should shake them to their soul, it's diminished in power. But also when we hold up the name of the Lord on our own lives, and we don't care about how we live or the things we do, again, the name of Jesus is diminished in people's eyes. You can say, well, everybody struggles with hypocrisy. I understand, but you know, Israel felt that way until one guy came along by the name of Jesus. And he properly represented the name of the Lord. And people were drawn to him. And he changed the world for many reasons. But one of them is he properly represented God to them. He did not take the Lord's name in vain. And my heart for you and me is when people say, all those Christians are hypocrites. When your friends hear that, when your schoolmates hear that, when the people you work with hear, oh, those Christians are hypocrites, my prayer for me and for you is that your friends would say, well, I know one who does not hold up the name of the Lord in vain. Oh, he's not perfect. She always doesn't do the things that's right, but she properly represents the name of the Lord. How can we take the name of the Lord in vain? Number one, through vulgarity or profanity. Second, through hypocrisy. And thirdly and finally tonight, by taking it. By taking it. The Lord says, do not take my name in vain. You know, some of you might say tonight, oh, I didn't even need to be here tonight. I don't use the Lord's name in vain. In fact, some of the things you have said tonight is kind of maybe very uncomfortable that you said those things from a church pulpit. And you know, and I don't live in hypocrisy. I try to live for the Lord with every day. And if that's true of you, I say amen. God bless you. But there's one other way I think we can violate this command. You see, it may be that you don't use the Lord's name in vain. It may be that you don't take the Lord's name, you that are a Christian, and live in hypocrisy. But maybe when others are using the Lord's name in vain, maybe when the TV is using the Lord's name in vain, maybe when others around you are using the name in vain, do you sit there and take it? Now, this is advanced stuff tonight. Most Christians would say, no big deal. What's the problem? I'm not saying it. I'm not living in hypocrisy. What's the big deal? But God's word says, don't take it. Don't take it anymore. When you hear someone using the Lord's name in vain, if the Lord leads, man, in love, share with them. I was out playing golf with a guy one day, and he was borrowing my driver. And he hit this shot, and he just ripped it out of bounds. And what came out of his mouth next was the Lord's name, and then, damn it, he said. And I said to him, hey, I have enough trouble hitting my driver straight as it is. Would you refrain from asking God to curse my driver? And his response was like, what? What in the world? I'm like, look, I have enough trouble. Please don't ask God to curse this driver. I paid a lot of money for this. I'd like to hit it straight. Don't have God curse it. And he laughed, and it just opened up a two-hour conversation between he and I about the Lord and the importance of God's name. Now, that won't happen every time. I've said that to other people, and they're like, and they don't say anything to me for the rest of the round. But either way, I didn't take it. How about when it comes into your home? How about, you know, when you're watching the TV, do you turn the show off? And maybe talk to your kids, maybe talk to your friends about why it's important to not diminish the name of the Lord. Oh, Jason, be practical. If I turned off the TV every time GD was being used, I would have to be turning off the TV all the time and sharing with my kids about the importance of the Lord. I would have to be turning off the TV all the time and talking with my friends about the importance of the name of the Lord. I have to do that all the time. Bingo. 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 What a radical experience. Say, hey, we're not going to take this in our home. I'm not going to take this in my heart. I'm not going to take it. And the Lord warns us, not because he's angry, but remember, why are each of these commandments here? Because they're his love expressed to us. God's saying, I don't want my name to be diminished in your home, in your heart, with your kids, with your friends. I am telling you this because I love you. I was sharing a similar study a few years back at a church I was speaking at, and this lady came up to me after the service, and she said, I'll never forget it. She said, you keep preaching this, Pastor Jason. You keep preaching this. And then she began to tell me her story, that she grew up in a home where the name of the Lord was not allowed to be taken in vain. They weren't allowed to watch programs, and they'd turn it off when it did. It wasn't allowed to be spoken in her home. But when she had kids, she had made a determination, I don't want to be as restrictive as my parents. I want my kids to be free with what they watch and what they listen to. But you keep preaching this, Pastor Jason. She said, because I have now seen years later the name of the Lord diminished in my now adult children. And what I originally thought was a burden from my parents was actually a blessing that my kids missed out on because I didn't see it. See, listen, friends, I don't know what that lady's parents were like. I don't know if they were the do as I say, not as I do kind of parents. I don't know if they were cruel with their rules. But all I know is we don't have to be with the commands of God. We don't want to be hypocrites and say, well, you do what I say, but not what I do. Nor do we want to hold it up in a way that's cruel. We got to communicate to our friends. We've got to communicate, those of you that are parents, to your kids. We've got to communicate to our own hearts. This is the love of God expressed to me. This is something God is sharing with me because he loves me, because he's for me. And the blessing, the name of the Lord would be that it wouldn't be diminished in my heart. That when I would hear the name of Jesus, he would have the proper response in my life. When my kids hear the name of Jesus, they would be cut to the core as they grow old. When my friends hear the word damnation or hell, it would rock them in their soul and they would turn to the Lord, because these words have power, friends. And God wants them to have power in your heart. He wants them to have power in your family's hearts. And so he says, out of love, not out of legalism, out of love, don't hold up my name in vain. I won't hold you guiltless. There will be consequences. Not that God's going to get you, but your heart will be diminished. Your heart will be desensitized to the name that is above every other name. God says, that's just the way it's going to work. So don't take his name in vain. Father, I thank you so much for your word for us tonight. And I pray, as we now enter into a time of worship, that God, again, you would let this go from our head to our hearts. Lord, there may be some of us in here that, we're not very disciplined with our language. We allow things to fly out of our mouths. And Lord, I believe your heart for us tonight. You're not angry. You're not upset. You don't condemn us, Lord. We know that from your word. But like a loving father, you say to us, I don't want those things diminished in your heart. I don't want those things diminished in your family's heart. So maybe, Lord, you would have us give our mouth over to you tonight, that you'd clean up our language, clean up our speech. May it be edifying to you. I pray for some of us, maybe, Lord, it's the way we're holding up your name in the way we live. There's a great chasm between what we say we believe, what we know to be true, and what we really do. And oh, Lord, you know we're always growing. There's always room where we know we need to grow. But Lord, may there not be hypocrisy. May we not be two-faced believers. And if we are, I pray tonight you'd search our hearts as we worship. And we leave those things at the foot of the cross tonight, that we might be genuine. We're not going to be perfect, but we want to be genuine believers. And I pray, Lord, tonight there would be some resolve in our hearts to not take it. That when we hear your name being thrown into the gutter, not as a religious prude, but I pray, Lord, you'd give us an open door to share with that person, be it a friend or a complete stranger. How that's the name of our Lord. Every other religion, Lord, freaks out when you burn a picture of their prophet. They go crazy when you defame a statue of their God. I pray we would be at least as passionate. Not to set cities on fire or to hurt people, but I pray you'd make us passionate for your name. I pray when that name above all the names is defamed in our homes, on our TV, we take the time to turn it off. And whether it's with our college age friends or our kids, for those of us in that stage of life, we'd share the testimony of our hearts. We don't want your name diminished. And may you do with it what you will, Lord. May you revive our hearts and revive our minds. And start tonight, Lord, I pray. Start tonight. As we worship you in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship the Lord. And as we do, if you want to stay right where you're seated, awesome. If you want to come up here and sit, I know it's kind of the hard concrete. I've a couple weeks in a row, the knees get kind of weary. That's okay. Sit there and worship the Lord. If you want to grab a corner, awesome. In between songs, Trevor's going to just play quietly in between songs. And if you have maybe a word from the Lord, maybe God just puts a word on your heart. Man, share it, but share it loud so we can all agree with you one at a time. Maybe God would put a verse on your heart. You might need to walk forward where there's light, but that's okay. Bring your Bible, walk forward, share it with us. So many times in these moments, I've been so encouraged by something that someone just, God put on their heart. It's been exactly what I've been praying about. Don't miss out. Let the Lord use you tonight if he wants to. If you want prayer, there'll be men and women be available to pray. But maybe you want to pray for somebody. Maybe you look across the room and God just puts that person on your heart. Hey, get out of your seat. Put a hand on their shoulder. You don't have to like quiz them. What's wrong with you? Just pray for them. Pray what you need in your life. We're all in the same boat. Pray that God's Spirit would pour out upon them, that they'd have victory over sin in their lives. If you want to pray for someone, just get up and pray for them. Let's just give these next 20 minutes over to the Holy Spirit and let him work in our hearts and work in our lives in a way that he sees fit. Amen? Let's worship our King.